Should a teacher be forced against his or her will to promote material that directly contradicts his or her faith? America's founders wrote in the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. But for several decades, many judges, including justices on the Supreme Court, interpreted the first part of those words to mean a separation of church and state, by which they really meant a separation of any kind of godly principles from government. One of the Christian legal groups in our time that's fighting for our founding principles, including religious liberty, is First Liberty, based in the Dallas area. This legal group writes about a new development. Quote, First Liberty Institute sent a letter to officials at the KIPP Antioch College Prep Elementary School in Nashville, Tennessee, on behalf of Eric Rivera, a former first grade teacher, demanding that the school clear his record and adopt policies that ensure teachers are accommodated after he was reassigned for refusing to read two books to first graders that promote same-sex marriage. The letter also asked the school to ensure that parents are notified when topics of sexuality are going to be discussed, end quote. Cliff Martin works with First Liberty. He joins us now. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Cliff, thank you for joining us. It's great to have you on the program.
All right. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Sure. Cliff, before we get into the specific case involving this school in Nashville, I'd like you to just comment briefly in terms of the founding fathers, the principles of freedom of religion, freedom of conscience. Do you think they would have allowed or wanted to see a situation where in schools people would have to be forced to teach something totally contradictory to the laws of nature and of nature's God?
Well, I'm not sure the founding fathers could have imagined public school as we know it in general, but the First Amendment requires public institutions not to discriminate on the basis of viewpoint or religion. And here, KIPP Charter School operates a public charter school in Nashville, Tennessee, and they're required not to discriminate on the basis of religion, and yet they specifically retaliated against Mr. Rivera for his religious beliefs.
Okay, so this is an amazing thing to even think about first graders having to be exposed to same-sex marriage issues?
Yes, well, here the curriculum chosen was fish tank learning, and the curriculum included two books with same-sex married couples in them, and Eric Rivera requested not to have to read those books. So he didn't seek to change the curriculum. He just told the school he did not want to read them, and for that he was punished.
Okay, and so tell us about the next step.
The next step is potentially a charge of discrimination with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. The school is subject to Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which requires that employers not discriminate on the basis of religion. It also requires employers to grant accommodations for religious belief when there is no undue hardship. Here, we know there was no undue hardship because the Mr. Rivera had requested to the assistant principal that he not read these books, and the assistant principal reasonably said, well, just have the co-teacher read it. And that's what happened. And then when the head principal found out about it, she summoned Mr. Rivera to her office and presented him with a final termination warning based on his refusal to read part of the curriculum.
Okay, this is really fascinating. I remember when the Obergefell decision came down in 2015, and it was amazing. First of all, the man who wrote it, Justice Anthony Kennedy, now gone from the court, but he said that nobody should interpret this, you know, decision in favor of same-sex marriage as in any way allowing for anti-religious freedom, you know, situations here in America because of this case. And then some of the people who dissented, some of the court justices who dissented, they warned that religious freedom could be hurt by that decision, and it surely was.
That's exactly right. And in fact, Justice Kennedy went out of his way to say, hey, you know, it's okay. The First Amendment will still protect people with this religious conviction. And, you know, that's the exact conviction that Eric Rivera has. And even the Obergefell case made it clear that the First Amendment protects this religious belief. But the school district decided to retaliate against him anyway.
You know, this is a really fascinating point. The very decision that imposed same-sex marriage on the nation, the majority opinion even included, hey, this should not be used to clobber anybody that disagrees with it. So I can just picture if this ever does go to court, man, that would – what could the principal say to that? You know, this is the very decision that promoted same-sex marriage. Good heavens.
That's exactly right, and that's why we actually cite it in our demand letter to the district where we say, hey, you've got to clear his name and you can't discriminate against religious people based on this belief. We actually quoted the Obergefell case on exactly that point.
Oh, that's great. Okay, tell me about the freedom of conscience. I know enough about the Founding Fathers to know that this was a very important thing to them. In fact, you know, you think about the history of America, all the different colonies that were founded, it was a great experiment, especially, you know, with people like William Penn, where the Holy Experiment even called it, where people of different convictions, all usually it was under the rubric of one version of Christianity or another, but they learned to tolerate each other and have that freedom, especially that freedom of conscience. It's as American as apple pie, but not in today's politically correct America too often.
That's exactly right. And I think a large part of that has to do with the fact that the Supreme Court previously under Title VII cases had held that all the employer had to show was a de minimis reason or inconvenience to them why they didn't have to accommodate a religious practice. But then a couple of years ago, the Supreme Court in the Groff versus DeJoy case said, actually, no, the employer has to show a substantial increased cost to deny a religious practice. And so employers across the nation have to accommodate the religious convictions of their employees. Many of them have not gotten with the program yet. They have not recognized the change in law that Groff brought about. But they're slowly learning over time that they have to accommodate religious practices unless they can actually prove an undue hardship, such as a substantial increased cost. But in absence of that, you know, religious employees do have the right and the ability to stand up and assert their religious practice, their religious faith. And Title VII makes clear that in this country, we do not expect the regular Joe to have to choose between his faith and his job. His faith is protected even at work.
You know what's so fascinating, too, is honestly, you guys are to be so commended. That Groff case that you mentioned, I believe that was a First Liberty case.
That's right, it was.
And so was Coach Kennedy versus Bremerton. So in fact, I did an interview with Kelly Shackelford, the founder of your group, and he said that prior to the Coach Kennedy case, which did allow for, you know, religious expression in the public arena and so forth, that the Lemon v. Kurtzman case of 1971 had been cited 7,000 times, he said, in different Supreme Court decisions after it was passed from 1971, and then it was effectively overturned in 2022 because of the Kennedy case. I know this is all legalese. Can you cut to the chase? What is the significance of what was Lemon, and why is it significant that it was overturned?
Well, it was absolutely a wonderful development to get rid of the Lemon decision. So Lemon versus Kurtzman stands for the proposition that the government, both federal and state governments, must avoid, quote, excessive entanglement, unquote, with religion. And so local governments and school districts love to use the Lemon test as cover for discriminating against religious faith by saying, hey, we have to avoid any entanglement with religion. So, of course, we can't allow, you know, that church to meet in our public school building or what have you. And the Supreme Court jettisoned the Lemon test and has replaced that with a history and tradition test where we look at the past and what was okay at the time of the founding era. And rather than coming up with these theoretical questions, you know, does this expression of religion cause an excessive entanglement? You know, does Coach Kennedy's prayer at the midfield of a public school football game after the football game is over constitute an excessive entanglement? That's all really beside the point. That Coach Kennedy has a right to express his religious belief, and the school district cannot run for cover under Lemon and use that as an excuse to terminate coaches like Coach Kennedy.
That's excellent. Okay, so what do you think will happen in this case involving this college prep school in Nashville? And by the way, does it surprise you at all that it happened in Nashville? I mean, that kind of is a little surprising. I mean, isn't that sort of part of the Bible Belt?
Yeah, it did surprise me. It surprised me, especially also because Tennessee has specific laws that govern the charter schools there. So it's a public charter school, which is a creature of Tennessee law. But the statute makes clear that constitutional protections and parental rights cannot be waived through a charter school. So these rights still exist, even though the school is not a traditional Nashville public school, but is a charter school. It nevertheless is still subject to protections. So we were a bit surprised to see it there. And we don't see how they get around the fact that they have not accommodated Mr. Rivera under Title VII, especially given that he actually was accommodated in the sense that another teacher read the book, and it was only after the fact that the principal found out, and, you know, and she lectured him for deviating from the curriculum, but the curriculum was taught. So there was already an accommodation that took place without cost to the district, and still they punished him.
You know, it's funny. I wonder if some of the parents who were sending their children to that school would even be happy that their children were exposed to, you know, stuff about same-sex marriage. From my perspective, propaganda promoting it.
Yeah, we have not spoken with any of the parents of the students at Kip Antioch, and so we're not sure what they would have to say, but I know how I would feel about it.
Sure. Okay, we have about 30 seconds to wrap up. What do you want to say in conclusion, especially about religious freedom in general and freedom of conscience? Does it still exist in America? Does a teacher, as they walk through the threshold of the floor, is there some sort of magnet that removes their constitutional rights or not?
Not only does it exist, but it's actually the most protected that it's ever been. It has never been safer to assert religious freedom because the laws are stronger than they ever have been in protecting religious freedom. And so what I would like to see is that teachers like Mr. Rivera continue to assert their rights, to continue to seek religious accommodations, and that we develop the law more fully, that, you know, religious people should live by their convictions. This is America. We want them to, and they have the privilege to do that here.
And I understand a lot of times when you guys just fire off a letter like this, the other side caves because they realize they don't have a case, and if it goes to court, they will lose. Cliff Martin, thanks so much for being with us. FirstLiberty.org. Keep up the great work.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.